Well, good morning. Those are some great hacks, aren't they? I can just see you guys at home this afternoon. You're like, I'm fixing that picture that can't hang it, right? Oh, man. I actually was in Lowe's last night and bought a magnet so I could glue it onto my nail pouch because I'm tired of, like, not having a place for my screws when I take them off things. So one of those hacks definitely stuck with me. But hey, we're in a new series, new message series called Home Improvement, and really looking forward to this time. I know that you're like wondering what in the world is going on with all the tools up here, and it's just been a great place for me to store them while we're in transition, and so I appreciate it. And the series might last months. We never know. It just depends on, it just depends. No. But how many of you like to watch, like, HGTV, home improvement shows? Come on, let me see your hands. I can barely see you because the lights are so bright. But I don't watch a whole lot of TV shows other than, like, reality types thing. Now, some of my favorite shows are, like, gold mining shows. I'm just saying. Robin hates it, you know. But to be honest, my favorite of all shows is Curse of Oak Island. Anybody Curse of Oak Island? It has to do with a treasure, so it's no. Anyway, but I love watching home improvement shows. I really like to work with my hands. I love to do construction stuff, and by the look of it, you'd wonder, does he really actually pastor? And sometimes yes, but I do a lot. I like to do a lot of construction things, and I think because at the end of the day, I kind of feel like I've accomplished something. You know, you can see the results, and so. But one of my favorite shows. Was really one of the originals, and that was This Old House. Anybody remember This Old House? It's still on. Bob Vila, I mean, he's like the man, you know. I mean, there's so many different shows now, but the very first, I think it was the very first show, the first one I remember, it used to be on PBS, like, the public television, and now you've got HGTV and DIY Network and Discovery has shows, and there's just so many different shows, And so through this series, this is going to be a six-week series. What I've done is I've titled the messages after different shows that are on TV. So today we're talking about This Old House. And, you know, the show This Old House, I love it because it focuses really on older homes and basically up in the New England area, you know, and those really, really old homes that are over 100 years old. And they go in and they talk about the craftsmanship of homes. And some of you, maybe you've said this before, you know, they just don't build homes like they used to. And they don't, you're right. There used to be a lot of craftsmanship that was put into homes. A lot of the molding and just the woodworking stuff that you just can't find anymore. It's hard to, stonework, really tough to find. But these shows would focus, or This Old House would focus on the craftsmanship and the quality of old homes that were built really to last generations. And they were built, though, with very primitive tools. And Rob and I were talking about this morning, the different tools. My dad was into construction. He was actually in the construction battalion in the Navy, and his father was into construction. And so maybe it just runs deep in my blood. And my brothers and my brothers are into construction, and my sisters are not into construction, but my brothers are. So it runs deep, but my dad used to have these tools, these old drills and things. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen them, where they turn and it's auger bit and the old planers and a wooden toolbox. I mean, and that was his tools. And man, I've got power tools. And I like cordless tools, and it's just cool to the technology, but. But things back in the day, they were built with these primitive tools, and it just makes it even more amazing to know that when they went in and built a house, you didn't build a house in 6 months. It took a long time, and there's a lot of work that went into it, a lot of thought that went into it. There's something to be said, though, about the old ways of doing things, and because it seems like in our generation, we're just looking for shortcuts all the time. We want the quickest, easiest way, I have to admit, there's things we do want, you know, to be cheaper and quicker and easier, and some things you can get away with that, but something to be said about the old ways and craftsmanship. And You know what's cool is when you read through the Bible, Jesus actually understood construction. Jesus was born in a home where his father, his earthly father, was a carpenter. Now, in those days, you know, like today, you know, we don't do this as much, but back in the day, not long ago, you kind of did what your father did. You kind of passed on that trade, right? And so maybe that's why my dad was into carpentry, because his dad was, and maybe before that his father was, and you know, but it was passed on. And so Jesus obviously was around it. He was involved in it. Maybe he was on a job site with Joseph and had to hold boards and had to drive some spikes into things, some nails, you know. I'm sure that he was there. I'm sure that he learned about construction and because he was around it so much. And Jesus talks about something in Matthew chapter 7. It's actually also recorded in Luke chapter 6, but it's following the Sermon on the Mount. That it's a famous message and sermon that Jesus preached. And following that sermon, he was surrounded by a group of his disciples and a group of followers, and I'm sure that you know there were many, many people around him, and he had just finished this message, this sermon. If you read through Matthew chapter 5 through 7, you see this. There's so much stuff, and goes into just some great depth and detail. If you want to know what Jesus thought and what he taught, Matthew 5 through 7, great passage of scripture. But he's finished preaching this sermon. I can just imagine him as a pastor and preacher, and he's communicated this message to all these people, and the looks on their face, and they're probably saying, "Wow, Jesus, that was really good stuff. Wow, that was good. That was way better than the Pharisees. Their sermons are really dry. You know, like we're gonna quit going over. We're gonna go to your church now, Jesus." No, I'm just kidding. They didn't say that. But they're like just patting him on the back, and I think maybe he realized, you know, I don't know if they really got it. I don't know if they really got it. They're focused on the nice things that I said. And he goes into Luke chapter 6, verse 47. He says, "I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm, because it's well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it'll collapse into a heap of ruins." Now, Jesus understood construction, and he, of course, applied that to the people that were listening to him. And I think his concern was that they really didn't get it. It's not about just hearing the message, but it's about doing something with it. And so he said, it's about those who come to me, they listen to my teaching, and then the third and most important part is they follow it. They put it into practice. You can't build a great building on a weak foundation, and you can't build a solid life without following Jesus. If there's one thing I want you to walk away with this morning, that's it. You can't build a great building on a weak foundation, and you can't build a solid life without following Jesus. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but the foundation is the most important part of your home. I know that some of you ladies, you know, it's the paint color, or it's the decorations, it's the stuff on the wall or whatever, but really the most important part is the foundation. And the work that's done in that foundation, a lot of times, it's not glamorous. It's kind of ugly. No one likes to do it, you know. I mean, but it's the most important part. If you don't get the foundation right, then the rest of the house isn't right. Those of you, you've been around construction, you know what I'm talking about. If it's off, the whole house is going to be off. If it's not solid, then it's going to crumble. I when I was, we were, Robin and I first got married, and I worked for an electrical contractor for the first year that we were married, and she finished school, and then I finished after that, but we were doing a job one time in Florida, in Lakeland, Florida, and we were in this brand new neighborhood that they were building, and it was called Grasslands, and it was a really kind of exclusive, gated community, and the houses were really super nice. There was a golf course, you know, all that stuff. And I'm working on this really nice, expensive house and wiring it. And at the last day, we're running digging a ditch for the main service electrical line that's going to come into the house. And as I'm digging this ditch, I get down about a foot in the ground, and I start hitting stuff, and I can't get through it. And so I get a pick out of the van, and I'm starting to pick at it. And I started to realize that what's down there is medical supplies. I'm finding syringes, I'm finding rubber tubing, I'm finding all this trash, and it's a bit concerning, you know. And so then we started asking around to some of the other guys doing construction. It's like, what's going on? What's happening here? Why are we getting all this garbage? They said, yeah, this place is built on a garbage dump. Like, are you kidding me? You can call it Grasslands, you can make it look beautiful, but it's still a garbage dump, right? And I found out since then that those houses have had issues with foundations, which, duh, like, of course they are. Listen, if our foundation's not right, if we don't have a solid foundation, we can't build a solid life. Our solid life is built on the foundation of following Jesus. Amen? What is your foundation made out of? What is it? What's it look like? Think about it. This morning, I want you to really to think about what's going on deep down under the surface of your life and how you do life and how you think and how you act. What is it? What's it look like? Is it solid? Is it fluid? Does your foundation shift and change and move? Is it based on biblical truth? What does it look like? What do you believe about yourself? And where did you get those beliefs? Is the beliefs about yourself and who you are they rooted? Are they founded? Are they solid and locked into biblical truth and what the Bible says about who you are? Or is your identity and how you think about yourself, how you view yourself, is it based on maybe what your parents told you, which I'm sure they said some nice things, hopefully. Some parents say some stupid things. Is it based on what people said about you when you posted a picture on Facebook or Instagram? Is it based on how many likes? Come on, that's the culture we live in, isn't it? Can we get real? We post pictures, and if we get some negative comments, we feel crappy about ourselves, right? And so we get caught up, and our identity is determined by people's opinions around us. And if that's the kind of foundation we have, that is not a solid foundation. But the Bible is a very solid foundation for our identity. God has an opinion about you. It's a great opinion. He didn't create junk. It doesn't matter how you came into this world. He loves you. We already talked about that this morning. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He can take the bad things that the enemy means for evil in your life, and he can use them for good. He can give you beauty for ashes. God really has a very firm, solid view of who you are, and he wants you to have that same perspective. Because if you have that same perspective, then you can handle the floods when they come, and they're going to come. There are going to be days when you don't feel so good about yourself. There are going to be days when things happen, and you wonder, and you question. But if you know who you are, if it's locked in, you can handle it. Right? How do you think about honesty and truth, integrity. What do you believe about those things? Do you believe it's okay to twist the truth a little bit? It's okay to get out of a situation that you don't want to be in by not telling the truth? Do you think that integrity is something that's a little bit old-fashioned, or do you believe that your words should mean something to everyone? What do you believe about it? What do you believe about being honest? What do you believe about forgiveness? Do you believe that we're supposed to forgive everyone? Or is it just selective? Is it just maybe those who, you know, certain people, right? No, what do we believe about that? What's in our hearts about it? What do you believe about work and finances, and how do you view that? Is what you do Monday through Friday, for some of you it may be Monday through Saturday, but what you do for work, is it just like one part of your life that you've kind of just dissected off, and it's God doesn't really care about it? Or do you believe that God really cares about your work? I do. I believe that He cares. When you read Scripture, you'll see that. Does He care about our finances? Yeah, we've already talked about that today too. How about sex? Does God care about sex? Does He care? He created you with that ability. Let's not forget. That's not something that just happened. Does He care about it? Yeah, He cares about it. Does He care about how you see yourself? Does He care about the sexuality? Does He care about how you view yourself? Yeah, He cares about it. How do you view human life? What do you believe about human life? What do you believe about the church? What do you believe about Jesus? I mean, we could go on and on and on. The list is a mile long. What is it that you believe about those things? See, it's about our foundation. If we have a solid foundation, you can't build a great building on a weak foundation, and you can't build a solid life without following Jesus. Jesus said, "Come to me, listen to me, and follow me." Follow me. Do something with this. We have a habit of coming, listening, but never following. So if you ever watched one of those remodeling shows on HGTV or DIY or whatever, they get into the show and they're doing this remodel, and they're ripping out walls because, you know, we don't want that wall there and the kitchen's too closed off. We want an open concept. And so they go in there and they're like, yeah, we're going to move that wall, we're going to move that wall, we're going to enlarge the bathroom or bedroom. And so when they start doing it, it seems like every episode they come back to the homeowners and say, it's going to be another 10 grand. It's like, why? Like they were surprised, you know, like. See, when you start moving walls, what happens is you start, there's support walls. You know, there's things that hold the actual roof from collapsing. And there are some walls that you can move, but there are some walls that you can't. And those walls that you can't, you've got to put some special supports in, and that's where the $10,000 comes in. And anyway, there are some walls in your life that you can move. There are some things that are non-negotiables. We call them convictions. The Bible calls them convictions. They're things that you have convictions about, right? Those are the walls that can be moved. But then there's some walls that can't be moved. Those are the non-negotiables. Those are the biblical truths. Those are the things that are solid, that we can't move those things around as much as we want to. Why are we talking about this stuff? It's not because I needed a place to put my tools, trust me. Why are we talking about this message? It's because it's so important that we lock this down, what we believe, and that our life is rooted and grounded in biblical truth. If we're going to be who God created us to be, then we got to know how he created us, why he created us. We got to understand truth. And it's going to be the solid foundation for our lives. Because it wasn't a question to Jesus whether or not a storm would come, whether or not the floodwaters would come. There was no question. Jesus said, the floods are coming. If you've lived long enough, you've experienced some floods. And when the floods come, you've got to have the right foundation. And so we're talking about this stuff because in our culture, in our day, it seems like just the foundation just shifts. It's what, you know, what we believe just changes so much. Now, like I said, there's some walls that can be moved. There's some things, some convictions that it's okay to remove. I remember the first church I was on, actually the second church I was on staff with at in Florida. And I kind of went head to head with the pastor. Not bad, but just, you know, I just pushed the envelope. You know how, you know, kids, you know how to do that, right? And I pushed the envelope with the senior pastor, and because he believed we should dress up and we should wear a tie to the office. And I'm thinking, I'm a youth pastor. Kids don't wear ties to school. I'm like, why do I have to wear a tie? I hate ties. Never liked them to begin with. So, you know, try out every angle, you know. Is it okay to not wear a tie? Absolutely. That's a wall that can be moved, right? I remember one conversation with our pastor. He was really old school. And he just felt like jeans were a sign of poverty. I'm like, really? I'm like, I told him, like, the jeans I have on were like $50. They're more expensive than most dress pants. And so it's not, you know, and so those are things that were non-negotiable, or those were negotiables. Those were convictions. Those were, it's okay to move those walls, right? There are things in our lives, there are things that we can move some walls, right? In the church, maybe you grew up in a church where it was pretty strict, right? Sarah, we've talked about some of the things that you've grown up and you know, I've been in churches where they're really strict. You know, women have to wear skirts and, you know, men have to make sure their hair's cut and, you know, just some crazy stuff. But are those biblical truths? No, those are convictions. And it's okay to move those walls, but there's things that we've got to nail down, y'all. There's some things we have to get solid in our life. And those are biblical truths. And in a shifting culture, when our culture decides, you know what, it's okay to just, you know, throw this out the window, you and I can't do that if we're following Jesus. We don't have to question our sexuality. We don't have to wonder, are there multiple, you know, are there more genders than two? Are there, you know, like all that stuff that goes on? Do we need to get into that? What, it seems crazy, doesn't it? But no one's saying anything because it's where our culture's at. We've got to get some things solid. Honesty, integrity. What does the Bible say? What did Jesus teach? That's our foundation. See, foundations don't move. If they move, you've got problems. And this is what we've got to lock in solid. Because when the storms come, when the floods come, if it moves, if your foundation's not solid, you're going to have problems. In 1989, there were over a million, mostly college, young adults that gathered together for a pro-democracy demonstration in Tiananmen Square. Some of you were alive then. Some of you remember. I remember this. I remember seeing it on the news. And in 1989, during those pro-democracy demonstrations, China's officials ordered the police and soldiers to open fire and shoot and kill protesters in Tiananmen Square. And there was one solitary man who stood out from the crowd. Time magazine referred to this guy as the unknown rebel, and it included him in the 100 most important people of the 20th century. To most people, he's known as the Tank Man. He stopped the tanks, and he slowed down the government crackdown on the Tiananmen Square protesters that day. Proverbs 22:28 says this, "Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your ancestors." We live in a culture, it's almost popular, and I get it. I understand we want to be progressive. We want to, you know, we want to show that we're open-minded and things like that. And so there's a tendency now to just everything that seems traditional, anything that your parents believed or did, do the opposite. Throw it out, right? Do I live in the same world that y'all do? And I know I probably sound old-fashioned, but that's kind of what we've been made to look like. Is it, oh, that's old-fashioned. But there's a tendency to, if your parents or if your grandparents did it or they believed it, that's old traditional stuff. You need to be open-minded. And it's crazy. Because we found ourselves in a situation where we're moving boundaries. We're shifting the foundation. We're deciding that, you know what? I want to build another room out here. Instead of putting a solid foundation down, we just start building a wall out on the ground. And we expect it to stand. My job as a pastor is not to guard the truth. Sometimes pastors get that mixed up. It's not to guard the truth. The truth doesn't need guarded. God's got it covered. My job as a pastor is to garden the truth, is to cultivate the truth in your hearts, in your lives, because the truth produces life. It produces freedom. And so I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to cultivate the truth in your life. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to, you know, just make light of it. We're not going to twist it. We're not going to reject it. We're not going to just not read that passage of scripture or that thing that Jesus said, but we're going to embrace the truth because the truth brings life. And so this culture that we live in, I mean, we've got to understand, we have to have discernment to know that there's this shifting that's going on. You can't build a wall, you can't build a building without a foundation, a good, solid foundation. Oh, you might could throw something up real quick and it looks nice for a little while, but eventually it's going to fall apart quickly. And people are going to get hurt, right? And see, we're in a time where things are just changing so fast and we're just moving walls around so quickly and we're not even establishing foundations. We're just saying, oh, well, you know, this is how we used to do it. We don't want to do that anymore. We just want to do something different. I know, even to myself, I sound really, really old-fashioned. This is the young youth pastor who was pushing the envelope. It's okay to move some walls, but there's some walls that can't be moved. Be careful. Don't move those ancient boundary stones set up by our ancestors. There's a reason. God has given us truth. He's given us biblical truth to build our lives on because the storms will come. Things will happen. And when they do, you'll be able to stand it. What's it going to take for you to go against the flow? What's it going to take for you to take a stand, to lock in and embrace the truth of God's word, to embrace biblical truth and build your life on it, even if it may seem old-fashioned. What's it going to take? What's it going to take for you to follow Jesus? To embrace the truth, not your truth. Has anyone picked up on that, what's being said today? Do you hear that? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm that guy that watches TV and I'm like, did you just hear that? Stop. Hit the pause button. My kids hated it. My wife hates it too. I'm like, wait, stop. I'm trying to watch the show. But it's like people are saying all the time, your truth, your truth, your truth. What about the truth? See, your truth is just an opinion. It's a conviction that you have. And yeah, it's okay to have some of those things, but you can't build your life on your truth. You have to build your life on the truth. You can't have a solid life without following Jesus. You won't be able to handle the storms that come. Y'all, let's follow Jesus. Let's follow him. We don't have time today to go through everything that Jesus taught. That's why you're part of a church family. But as we grow together, let's follow Jesus. Let's follow the truth. Let's build our lives on a solid foundation. There's something to be said about it. There's something to be said about the old ways of doing things. There's something to be said about having a firm foundation, a quality craftsmanship of a life, because if you're planning on making this thing last, if you're planning on going the long haul, you've got to have something solid. Let's follow Jesus. Let's abandon those instinctive fleshly desires that we have, and let's follow Jesus. Let's model him. Model his life. Model his words. Not just listen, not just come near, but let's follow him. Let's sound like him. Let's think like him. Respond like him. Talk like him. Pray like him. Love like him. And serve like him. See, when Jesus stood on that mountainside with all of those people surrounding him and they had just heard that message and he had just poured his heart out, I'm certain, as a pastor, those are things. It may not be physically exertive what we do on Sunday mornings, but it's very emotional and it's very spiritual. And you pour yourself out and you feel exhausted. And Jesus just, he was in it. The Sermon on the Mount is like the biggie. And as he watched those people, he could tell, he had this sermon, he's like, they didn't even get it. They just heard some words and, oh man, that was a great sermon, Jesus. I'll be back next Sunday. Jesus said, listen, it's not about just coming over here and getting close, and it's not just about listening, but you got to follow me. Later on in another passage, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, here's what you got to do. You got to take up your cross. That's when the crowd started thinning out. You got to take your cross. You got to follow me. Let's follow Jesus. Let's get this thing right from the beginning. Let's get that foundation right. Sometimes we're so quick to want to just pop the walls up, throw the roof on, put some drywall on, slap some paint on it, and let's invite our friends over. But if we don't get the foundation right, if we don't have that right in our life, if you don't have that right in your relationships, it's not going to stand. Would you stand with me? Can we follow Jesus? You know, many of us We grew up in a time where the boundary stones had already been moved. And maybe in your family, maybe in your life, man, those boundary stones, that foundation, that things had shifted, you know, and you grew up in that. I get it. I totally get it. That was my case. I didn't grow up in a family and in a situation that had good, solid foundation. But when I started following Jesus, when I made a decision that, you know what, I'm going to put my faith, my trust in what God did for me and what he provided for me through Jesus, I had to make a decision to move those boundary stones back to where they need to be. In the way that I talked, in the way that I dealt with people, in the way that I viewed myself, my sexuality, all of that stuff had to move back. Those boundary stones had to move back to where they needed to be. And maybe that's your situation today. Maybe you say, you know what? I realize the boundary stones aren't where they need to be, and I need to get some things moved back to where they need to be in my life. I can't do that for you. All I can do is cultivate the truth. All I can do is stir it up. But you can do it. Tagline for our series through the 6 weeks is home improvement. You can do it. We can help. We can help you. That's what we're here for. Can we close with a prayer? Would you just bow your heads with me? Father, I don't know what the boundary stones are for each and every one that's here this morning, but you do. Maybe it's how they view themselves. Maybe they're so insecure. Maybe the opinion of themselves is so bad because of criticism or just things things that are even out of their own control. But Lord, help them today to move that boundary stone where it needs to be. That you love them, you have a plan and a purpose, you created them. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. God, as we embrace the truth, as we build our life on a solid foundation, Lord, maybe it's how we view work. Maybe it's just dread Monday and we can't stand being at work and we don't understand that you have provided work for us, that you opened that door and that you provided that opportunity. God, would you move that boundary stone? I don't know what it is for you, but right now, would you just ask the Lord, God, would you move some boundary stones in my life? Would you move it for me? Father God, Lord, today we want to make sure we get it right. We want to make sure the foundation's good. We want to make sure that we build this thing on a solid foundation, not our truth, not our opinion of how life should be, but on you, Lord God. Father, we thank you.